All right, there's no better person to go to after Spain winning the Women's World Cup in Australia, New Zealand. And of course, this segment brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW. They are the presenting sponsors of our show. A big thank you to John and his firm for supporting the great game of soccer on the radio. And they urge you to download and subscribe to the podcast at Spotify, Apple, and Google. He is Jordi Sunyer, TV3. And Jordi, I must say, fantastic run in this tournament by Spain, playing scintillating football, lots of ties to even the Spanish culture. But what has been the reaction in Spain right now? And just kind of take us down to that level.
Hello, Glenn. Well, as you may imagine, and it has been a shock result. It has been a surprise result because nobody would have bet for Spain winning the Women's World Cup after the two dreadful performances in the last two World Cups. But yeah, it was like a perfect storm. And of course, as it was the surprise result that it was, reaction has been fantastic here in Spain. Many people yesterday watching the game in giant screens around the country, throwing parties to watch the game. 65% of share audience on national public television. The game was broadcast in what was here Sunday at noon. So it was a fantastic TV time for this game. And it has been a huge success. But of course, it's been a success against all odds, not just in footballing terms, but also if you look at how women's football was treated by the Spanish FA in recent years.
Jordi Sunyer joining us, TV3. Yeah, I think that's a really natural question to ask you is, you know, because of the dominance of the men's team and the super clubs of Barcelona and Real Madrid and their histories and the way soccer is in this country, my assumption is there's been a bias against women's football. So I would think that this is something that may change perception.
It should, because I want to tell you something. You have to remember, or I'll tell you, because, of course, maybe this game wasn't shown on the US. 7 months ago, Barcelona won the Spanish Super Cup, and the players themselves had to pick their medals from a table that was laid beside the pitch. There was nobody of the Spanish Football Federation to give the medals to the winners. And it was 7 months ago. And these are the same people, the Spanish FA directors, who, of course, were traveling to Australia to watch the final and then greet the players and appear in all photographs and videos. And that has been a huge controversy in Spain. It's been unfair because what these girls have done has been extraordinary, extraordinary. But during the celebrations, there's a picture of the Spanish FA president, Luis Rubiales, former player, kissing Jennifer Hermoso on her lips without her consent. It was, of course, a gesture of euphoria. He probably didn't exactly know what he was doing. And what at the first sight seemed, as I was saying, a picture of euphoria, if you look at it from another colder perspective, it ranges from nearly sexual abuse and nearly to sexual harassment, and that's how it's being read by some Spanish media. What is this? Kissing a girl without her consent in public? The girl said, "I didn't like it. It was not good. It was not fair. It may be euphoria, but it's not correct." And the controversy after winning a World Cup, many titles in Spanish press, many hours of radio, many hours of television are devoted to what the Spanish FA president did to Jennifer Hermoso, who's now playing in Mexico. So this country, Glenn, this country is terrible. What they've done, what this team has done is truly incredible. It's nearly a Hollywood story. But in Spain, we are not speaking about what they've done. We are speaking about Rubiales, and that's, I think that's awful. That's incredible.
Well, that's media today. It's all about the hits and the likes and getting attention. And listen, I read a lot of quotes from Hermoso, said, look, There's nothing behind this. It was an awkward moment. That's all. It was euphoria. She's totally downplayed it. So this is, again, the wonderful media now that's around the world that's willing to do everything and anything. But let's move on to the football, because we got to celebrate the way this team played. A couple of cycles ago, I was watching them, and I know they had rough World Cups, but I was watching the technical ability of the Spanish players, and I just said, man, this is amazing. This is the absolute culture of Spain. I mean, it just translated over to the women's side of football. And I just said, you know what? One day when the gap of physicality is changed, the knowledge, the culture, and the gap of physical is narrowed, you better watch out, because Spain has football institutional knowledge. It has history. And so this to me is not a surprise. And this has happened with a lot of countries over the last three World Cup cycles.
And let me remind you of the 2010 Men's World Cup that Spain won thanks to that Andres Iniesta goal. I know I'm bringing the analysis to a local point of view, but this is an analysis that has been shared by many journalists and analysts here in Spain. The core of that men's team in 2010 was Barcelona. The core of that 2023 women's team that has won the World Cup is Barcelona again. Because the two teams, Pep Guardiola's and Jonathan Giraldo's teams, have opened the way and have shown the way of how to be competitive in world national teams football. Because if you remember, it's history repeating. Because before 2010, the men's team wasn't able to reach further than the quarterfinals in World Cups. There was this kind of permanent deception at every World Cup, Spain getting out at the last 16 or quarterfinals. And with the Spanish national team, women's national team, it was the same. 2015, there was a turmoil as usual around the players, problems with the Spanish FA, with the support they were giving to women's football. 2019 was not good, but in 2021, Barcelona won their first Champions League. They have been Champions League winners again this year, 2023, against Wolfsburg. And again, success of Barcelona, the way Barcelona have made their style, the dominating style in women's football in Europe, has opened the way to the Spanish national team. Of course, you have to give, even with all the controversy surrounding him, but you have to give credit to Jorge Vilda, the national team coach. But there's this influence. You cannot deny that. Everyone here is watching how Barcelona women's team are playing. When Barcelona games are shown on television, they draw very good audiences. And people like what they do. And the stadium where they play is normally full. It's normally a full house in every league game. That means 6,000 people, which is rather good figure. So I think it may seem an easy analysis to do, but I think it is correct to compare the two teams and the two stories, because they have many things in common, in my opinion.
So one thing that really jumped out about me, Ayatana Bonmati, who, you know, it's just fabulous to watch, tone setter in midfield for this team, gifted, creative, but she had a quote after it, which goes back to our prior point of the gap being narrowed physically and competitively with countries around the world, including Spain, obviously the World Cup winner. She said, quote, "We can compete. We can fight for every ball. We know how to suffer and we know how to win." And that was something that drove the U.S. women's national team for so many years. They were more competitive than any women in the world. And they actually taught the rest of the world, in my opinion, to be more competitive in women's sports. But boy, the gap is narrowed. And I thought that was quite the quote coming from somebody as technical and skillful as her, because it is the marriage of the two things that we're seeing. Now, with Barcelona and Real Madrid leading the way, there were eight players from each team on this team. I would think the NWSL here in the U.S., who likes to say it's the greatest league in the world, had better be careful because of these large brands, and they may come in for players. Their brands are bigger than anything that's here in the U.S.
We have to be careful with it, because Of course, there's quality in the Spanish league, but it's a 16-team league. There are many things that, in my opinion, haven't been done properly in Spanish football, because if you look at the leagues surrounding us, German league, English league, French league, Italian league, all these leagues are 10 to 12 teams. So you have very competitive teams. The league is sustainable. In Spain, there has been a boom of women's football in last year. So everything has grown very quickly and sometimes too quickly. So I think, as we say here, the house has been built starting with the roof and not with the foundation. So many things have to still, in my opinion, have to change. But it's clear, and you know that Mediterranean countries, Southern European countries, Italy, Spain, are quality in football terms. The boys, the girls learning football, playing in the streets, playing in courtyards, at school, in local football clubs. What they learn, what they have is technical ability, because this is not a nation of strong people. We are not Germans, we are not English, we are not Swede, we are not Norwegian. We are people that are not strong physically. The Spanish sportsman best attribute is player quality, technical ability. But in women's football, when you compete against team, in maybe in women's football, the physical difference can't be, or maybe more important than in men's football. So when Barcelona started to compete at the international level, playing the Champions League, they knew they could be, or they were technically, at least technically level with other great teams in Europe. But the first thing they had to improve was the physical side. And they were, I can't say they were committed to work on the physical side to be able to compete physically with all the teams in Europe. So, as I was saying before, Barcelona opened the way, showed the way to the Spanish national team. And I think they've done that, and they've tried to enhance their technical quality and make the technical quality a more important factor to win games. But of course, they've also worked in the physical side of football, and that's
Gordy,
what make
when did that turn? When did the physical side of it turn, and when was the recognition? And are there visible signs that you see? Because you cover this in Spain. Have you seen, are there more physical trainers involved? What have you seen that really validates this? Because we see it on the field.
As I was saying, you have to follow what Barcelona has done. And I would say 2017, 2018, like 6, 7 years ago, when Barcelona was already the clear winner of the Spanish League, but was struggling in the Champions League, getting out of the Champions League in the quarterfinals. They played against Wolfsburg, they were out. They played against English teams, they struggled. So 6, 7 years ago, when that happened, I think they realized the physical side had to be enhanced. So I would say this 6, 7 years ago, and the work done has been very good. And as you were saying, more physical trainers, more workload on the physical side of the game to make the teams more competitive. And there you have the results.
All right, so that's part one with Jordi Sunyer of TV3 in Barcelona. We're going to come back with part two shortly. Quick word here, though, for our good friends at Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Now, if you're going out I-10, it's on the right-hand side in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, incredible whiskey offering, beer offerings, great pub food like bangers and mash and shepherd's pie. Real pub feel, home of the Liverpool supporters group. Go in there, say hello to Goose, say hello to David. It's Hugh O'Connor's Pub. We've done a lot of live shows out there. It's a great spot. And if you want the real soccer pub feel, it's Hugh O'Connor's Pub. Katy Freeway in the Marquee Entertainment Center. We'll take a break. We'll come back.